Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Jai Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jai Radha Chama Sundaradha Chama Sundaradhi Lalita Vishaka Jaya Radhesha Lalita Vishaka Jaya Radhesha Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai go Haribo, 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 Nitai go Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Satashi Shimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Maharaji ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana namaskritya Narang chaiva narotamam Devim saraswatim vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet Nasta praeshu abhadreshu Nityang bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, The Gopi's Search for Krishna. This is text 12. Bahum priyangsa upadaya grihita padma Ramanujas tulase kali kular madandai Anviyamana ihavas tarava pranamam. King vabinandati charan pranayavalokai. Bahum priyangsa upadaya grihita padma Ramanujas tulase kali kalair madandai Anviyamana iha vas tarava pranamam King Vabinandati Charan Pranayavalokai Bahum Priyangsa Upadaya Grihita Padma Ramanujas Tulasikali Kular Madandai. Anviyamana ihavas tarava pramnamam. King Vabinandati charan pranayavalokai.
Vabinandati charan pranayavalokai.
Vahun priyansa upadhaya grihita padma.
Vahun priyansa upadhaya grihita padma.
Ramanujas
tulasi kali kulair madandhai.
Anviyamana
iha vastaravo pranamam.
Vabinandati charan
pranayavalokai. His arm,
Priya,
of his beloved, Angse, on the shoulder, Upadaya, placing, Grihita,
holding.
Padma,
a lotus,
Rama Anujaha, Krishna, the younger brother of Balaram. Tulasika, swarming around the Tulsi Manjaris, which are ornamenting his garland. Ali Kulai, by the many bees. Mada, with intoxication. Andai, who are blind. Anviyamana, being followed. Iha, here. Va, your. Tarava, O trees. Pranamam, the bowing down. Kingva, weather. Avinandati, has acknowledged. Charan, while walking by. Pranaya, imbued with love. Avalokai, with his glances. Translation purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O trees, we see that you are bowing down. When the younger brother of Rama walked by here, followed by intoxicated bees swarming around the Tulsi Manjaris, decorating his garland, did he acknowledge your obeisances with his affectionate glances? He must have been resting his arm on the shoulder of his beloved and carrying a lotus flower in his free hand. Please repeat. O trees,
we see
that you are bowing down. When the younger brother of Rama
walked by here,
followed by intoxicated bees, swarming around the Tulsi Manjaris, decorating his garland. Did he acknowledge your obeisances with his affectionate glances? He must have been resting his arm on the shoulder of his beloved and carrying a lotus flower in his free hand. Purport. The gopis saw that the trees, bent over with abundant fruits and flowers, were offering obeisances to Lord Krishna. The gopis supposed Krishna must have recently passed that way, since the trees were still bowing down. Because Sri Krishna had left the gopis to go with his favorite consort, they were jealous, and thus imagined that he had become fatigued from his loving affairs and was resting his left arm on the soft shoulder of his beloved. The gopis further imagine that Krishna must have been carrying a blue lotus in his right hand to drive away the bees, eagerly trying to attack his beloved's face after smelling its aroma. The scene was so beautiful. The gopis imagine that the maddened bees had left the Tulsi garden to follow the two lovers. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaham Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarane. Hare Krishna. So, I just would like to read one paragraph. This is from First Canto. So one has to learn Bhagavatam
from the representative of Shukadev Goswami and no one else. If one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages, that is the process, and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadev Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahmana. Shukadev Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father. And so also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Shukadev Goswami. Simply hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada and trying to repeat the words of Srila Prabhupada, because just as all the Goswamis extracted all the essence of all the Puranas, Vedas, and all the literatures discussing the relationship of the living entities with Krishna, the Supreme Living Entity, in such a way as not to deviate our understanding, because this world was created by the Lord, material world, for the purpose of fulfilling the contaminated desires somehow beyond the psychic movements of the mind, intelligence, and ego in the gross material body made of all the material elements. The living entity is entrapped in ignorance in this body. And due to many, many lifetimes, birth after birth, trying to fulfill desires, because everyone has desires. We're hearing about the gopis, their desire to serve and please Krishna. It appears like a mundane relationship to those who are not trained to understand what is pure devotional service without motive, without aspiration. Generally, relationships in this world are based upon you satisfy me, I satisfy you. And when the satisfaction between us stops, then there's divorce or find another and hope to find somewhere where you can repose this love and become satisfied. But the satisfaction that everyone's looking for in this world is illusory, because everything here is temporary. So there's fruitive workers, those who want to work very hard to accomplish basically wealth, followers, enjoyment of beautiful women and the different things that the wealth may produce, thinking that this is everything. But this is unfortunate, because it's all taken away at the time of death. Mrityu sava haras chaham. Krishna comes in the form of death and just dismantles the whole sandcastle that we built on the shore of the beach. The wave comes in and everything is dismantled. So we may think, well, that's just philosophy. Then there's the philosophical speculators, due to reading many, many books on logic and reason and philosophy. And I've studied all the religions of the world. I've done Buddhism, and people say like that, not, you know, and that I studied, you know, Christianity and Judaism and Hinduism and this ism and that ism. And just by the efforts of my own ability, you know, I will figure out what is the purpose and goal of life. But that is not revealed that way, as we heard just before the beginning of this from Srila Prabhupada, that Sutta Goswami, Srila Vyasadeva, just after the departure of Lord Krishna, seeing the influence of Kali Yuga, this age of darkness, when people are very slow in spiritual advancement, their lifespan is slow, their attention is very limited, and they're easily disturbed, always want to fight about something. So, due to the unfortunate situation, Kali Yuga, after Krishna's departure, the Lord manifested himself as Srila Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is the empowered incarnation of the Lord. And what did Srila Vyasadeva do? He put available the Shrutis, the various Puranic histories, Mahabharata, and then Narada Muni, his spiritual master, who is also an empowered incarnation of the Lord for bhakti. Krishna empowers different living beings for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, spreading the message of the truth that this world is temporary and there's only suffering of repeated birth and death from the highest planet down to the lowest. All are places of misery. But that abode of the Lord is eternal, ever-existing, and Krishna's calling us, inviting us back home and displaying such beautiful pastimes. These pastimes are not ordinary. Although the Lord incarnates many, many incarnations, it says like the waves of the river, the waterfalls, it continuously pours. So in this universe, we're getting a glimpse of some of the incarnations of the Lord for different purposes at different times. Krishna has 100% of all the transcendental attributes. And also his expansions have that ability, but they don't exhibit the full power of Godhead in the forms. Not that they don't have, and the Lord is the same Lord. But then the separate living entities, they can have 78%, like Lord Brahma. He is considered topmost elevated human being, empowered by the Lord for the creation of this world. Then there's Shiva and all the various multitude of 33 million demigods to take care of this administration. But it all happens automatically by the Lord's will. And generally, you would think that, you know, the Supreme Lord has better things to do in the spiritual world than come to this material world and exhibit pastimes here. But this is to show the personal aspects of the Lord. We've been hearing about the history, Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, and how, especially in Kali Yuga, people were utilizing during the appearance of the powerful Lord Buddha, because they were utilizing the Vedas, animal sacrifices, basically became like slaughterhouses, and just whimsically using the religious scriptures to justify the slaughtering of animals. I think even Lord Christ, there's some history of that, that they were doing all kinds of things in the temples and churches against the religious principles. So Lord Buddha, just to take the less intelligent meat eaters away from that, ahimsa, and didn't even accept the Vedas, because otherwise people say, hey, it's in the Vedic literature. If the Veda says it, we accept it. So he rejected the Vedas. And Buddhism became very prominent throughout the whole India. And was it Ashoka? A great emperor came, and then somehow he drove out the Buddhists, and now then they went to Japan and all the different Asian countries. Buddhism is very popular. And of course, Lord Buddha we respect. He's the incarnation of the Lord. Then Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya to again establish the importance and the authority of the Vedic literatures. But because people were not ready to accept the Lord in his personal form, if one can't comprehend, oh, he's just a person like you and I, and the gopis are just girls who are having an attraction for this beautiful boy, and they, you know, dramatize or make some kind of, you know, that he's God. But the histories of modern scientists and in the educational circles, they don't recognize behind 500 BC, around the time of Lord Buddha, they think that all the stories of the Puranas and all the activities which are discussed about the Lord's incarnations in various universes are just imaginary and mythology and just fancy stories and not a reality. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, throughout his Leela, is destroying, because impersonal is very prominent. Varanasi, Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great logician, wonderfully, you know, capable of reciting so much scripture. But Lord Chaitanya, out of his kindness, instructed Sanatana Rupa Goswami and the powerful six Goswamis to give us a correct understanding of what is the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Lord incarnates personally in the pages of the Bhagavatam. We were hearing yesterday that when the devotees are chanting the Lord's holy name, the name is non-different than the Lord. He's personally present. We may think, well, God's everywhere. He's in every atom. He's already present in my heart. He's in the atom. He's in the cartels. He's everywhere. Yes, this is the Lord's presence is known, his power is all inclusive. But to understand in a personable way that we have a spiritual body, we have a relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, and temporarily we're covered by the ignorance and illusion. This Maya is Krishna's Shakti. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mamivaye Prapajate Mayamitantarantite. This divine energy of the Lord is difficult to overcome. The reason why it's difficult is because we have such intense desire to enjoy, but Krishna is the only enjoyer. And we're actually enjoyed by the Lord. And we act in such a way, Prabhupada gives the example like the fingers. You see the rascula, if you want to just squish the rascula, the fingers want to enjoy it, it becomes a mess. But if you take it and bring it to the right place to the mouth, then the whole body is, you know, revitalized and generated. So in the same way that when one tries to enjoy this world by having the false identification that this is my body, and these are my children, and this is my family, my country. What are you doing in my country? Get out of my country. You know, it's like, you know, God owns everything. Bhoktarang jagatapasang sarvaloka maheshwaram. So, not only is the logic and reason throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam and the various incarnations, the great saints, the discussions of the great saints, the prayers to the Lord of the selfless, pure-hearted devotees, is to express a proper sentiment that by hearing, it said that Suta Goswami was drinking the vibration of Shukadev Goswami's narrations to Parikshit Maharaj about the purpose and goal of life. Just imagine the emperor of the world, the highest royal position, when he was preparing for death, all the great sages from everywhere came because they understood that something special is happening here. And they were all discussing, well, okay, what should he hear? What should he do? And it was concluded by all the great sages. Even Vyasadeva was there, Narada Muni, so many great sages you can read. And it was concluded that Shukadev Goswami, who is like they say when the parrot tastes the fruit, it becomes even sweeter, was instructed by Vyasadeva about this confidential message of Godhead. And he also, due to his purity and being a Mahabhagavata, he explained to Parikshit Maharaj in such a way as to prepare his very existence for leaving this body, leaving this world behind, and going back home, back to the spiritual world. So we may think it's too distant, too far away. You know, I'm too fallen. You know, I am still envious, still lusty, still greedy, still want to enjoy this world. But, you know, with a little faith, we're following, because Srila Prabhupada's magnetic, charming smile and his charisma and his love and compassion. We're hearing about Lord Nityananda's compassion. I think there was a story that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying, oh, Prabhupada, this one leader of yours, he's engaged in sinful activities, smoking marijuana, this and that. And they said that Prabhupada will reject you. He said, Prabhupada, will you really reject him? He said, no, Lord Nityananda is so merciful that I'm not rejecting. But not that we're taking that as a green light or anything, but the idea is that the spiritual master is very, very kind, because the spiritual master is representing Krishna. And the gopis, their expression of separation from Krishna is being told throughout this 30th chapter in particular, how Krishna called them by his loud flute playing, and they were so much enchanted and so much sold out and dedicated to Krishna, they left everything behind, not worried about their responsibility to family or culture or anything like that. And they were proud, feeling that, you know, Krishna's calling us, and Krishna's so special that, you know, we must be special. So Krishna, he doesn't like his devotees to become overly proud, so in order to intensify their love, he left. And then they thought, oh, Krishna, where's Krishna? They're asking all the creepers, all the trees, because they know in Vrindavan, everything is alive and vibrant, it's spiritual. And the gopis were feeling maddened that, how we lost Krishna. And then they became envious because they saw two sets of footprints. Oh, Krishna's, he's favoring someone. Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu suti devi pranamami hare priye. The Srimati Radharani is his favorite. But those who were on the other side, I think Chandravali's side, they were more envious. Whereas the gopis who were with Srimati Radharani, they were happy that, oh, Krishna, Radha and Krishna are together. And then we're hearing how Krishna's taking advantage of the beautiful setting, the beautiful light and the flowers and the beauty of Vrindavan. And even taking some flowers, reaching up to get flowers to put in Srimati Radharani's hair. And we're seeing how, you may think, this is mundane. How God can, be having a relationship. See, when Krishna wants to enjoy, he doesn't enjoy a material world. He expands himself as Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is his merciful incarnation. She's very, very kind to those who are striving for devotional service. And she'll tell Krishna, and she's Madan Mohan Mohini, everyone is bewildered by Cupid, by the ideas of love, by the ideas of relationship. You know, especially imagine teenage boys and girls, forget school, forget homework, forget everything else. You know, the relationship is most important, most prominent. So our relationship with Krishna is also one of love and exchange. Different relationships are there. And the gopis are different expansions of the Lord. Nitya siddhas, or eternally liberated souls coming from the spiritual world. Also great mystics, great yogis, and those who have achieved the perfectional stage by the bhakti yoga process, by following the advice of the pure devotee. Because everyone's interested in money. And we see everything, all the different, lot of the different katas that take place throughout India and other places. The person who's giving the kata is more interested in what are the gifts, or, what is the financial exchange coming from that. This is why Prabhupada, he discouraged and very much looked down upon this Bhagavad Sapta, which is based or spoken by persons who are still addicted to the sensual pleasures and the mundane bodily concept, and not giving the essential truth of what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is to awaken our love for Krishna. It's not that for a few minutes we sit down and listen, then the rest of the day it's nonsense all day long. That when Suta Goswami heard Bhagavatam, that's the beginning. Now I have to engage myself in devotional service. But what? More Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Because as we are eager for Krishna consciousness, the taste, oh, I'm enthusiastic. I want to hear it. I want to read it. I want to come and see the deities. I want to sing and dance with the devotees. I want to go out and tell everyone about Krishna, Sankirtan. Or I want to serve nicely. You see how beautifully the deities are looking. All the ornaments are meticulously cleaned and polished and coordinated and very thoughtfully thought about. If you think about the outfits and the backdrops and the flowers and jewelry and everything, it's a meditation. And that meditation is for the pleasure of Krishna and the devotees, because Krishna comes with the paraphernalia of devotees and whatever level we may be on. We're fortunate enough to be here in Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham. And we're fortunate enough to be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what to speak of the 10th canto of the gopi search for Krishna. So we should be searching for Krishna, thinking about where is Krishna, how can I get closer to Krishna, how can I find Krishna. In a positive attitude, because although gopis would sometimes chastise Krishna, oh Krishna, you're just so, you know, heartless, you left us, and, you know, you're cruel, but then they take it all back and are very eager to see Krishna. Oh, he's out with the cows in the woods, in the forest, and his feet are getting pricked, and I'm feeling great anxiety over this. And then what to speak of anticipating with great eagerness Krishna's arrival back to Vrindavan after being out all day with the cowherd boys, having fun and games, killing demons and taking care of the cows. And I think, how is God just a cowherd boy? Lord Brahma had the same bewilderment, showing that Krishna, this lifestyle of depending on mother cow, living on the land, because this artificial technology and all these huge industries and big buildings and the madness for economic development, they think they can create anything and everything. That we'll figure it out how to become deathless. We have a new formula that'll prolong your life, because they think the life means the body. Just like when you see the president gets in his car, you see the car, oh, there's the president. We only see the car, president's inside, but we realize. So when the living entities, we think, oh, there's Maharaj and there's Prabhu, and there's another Prabhu, you know, so and so. And we recognize them by their external features and, you know, their mind, their humor, their intelligence, also their love. It's a reflection of the spirit soul. It's a reflection of our actual identity. And then the more we engage the external body, walking to the temple, getting up early, and chant, you know, keeping clean, chanting the Lord's holy name, and hearing, this is essential. Without everyday hearing, the mind has a tendency to wander and concoct some plans on how I'll be happy by my own arrangements. And of course, there's room for utilizing our intelligence, because what? Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle. So we're not stereotyped or thinking that we're like robots. We have to use our intelligence, but we use it for the service of Krishna. And when we're hearing about how important it is to hear this message of Godhead from the pure devotee, and we have to take shelter of a resident of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada expressed, I am a resident of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So all of us, we're taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada through his devotees, through his assistants. But ultimately, Srila Prabhupada is representing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Gaurakishordas, Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. All the acharyas, all the guru parampara is connected. It's not just somebody whimsically proclaims himself the effulgent jagat guru. Oh, now, you know, I'm acharya, so I can change things. I went to one temple in America and they were kind of deviating. I said, why are you doing like this? He said, oh, our teacher's acharya, he can change things. Acharyas can do that. That's a misunderstanding, because Sadhu Shastra Guru is there, that the incarnations of the Lord are already told who is an incarnation and when he'll appear and what are his activities, who his mother and father are, what city he'll be born in, when he'll appear. Even Kalki is on his way, coming soon. As Kali Yuga progresses, it's 5,000 years only. Kali Yuga is just getting started. And we see how degraded everything is and how unfortunate people are, even those who are yogis and followers of some so-called system. When you look at the books on the cover, they're showing Krishna and the gopis in a very, how do you say, promiscuous or not a very Vedic understanding. They try to put it forward as the mundane sex relationship. But that's not what's taking place. So it's a fine line to try to understand, well, how is this intense desire of the gopis to be with Krishna and always talking about put your feet on the breasts and, you know, holding the body and, you know, because we imagine so many things from our upbringing and various impressions in life. What to speak on what goes on in other universes and other planets. Not everything is in relationship to how we understand. So some of the pastimes of the Lord, which are told in the Vedic literatures, may be misunderstood because it's not all in chronological order and it's not all based upon our so-called logic and reason. How can Krishna pick up a mountain? You know, he does that. And how Krishna can expand himself to be with each and every gopi next to their side. And each gopi is thinking, Krishna's just with me. He's actually sitting in exchanging love only with me. But Krishna is like this. He has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And this is why one who becomes more and more illuminated and awakened, he becomes non-violent. He's not jealous. He's not angry. Yeah, he's actually, it says the Goswamis are friends to all. And one who can appreciate, of course, there's always challenges. There was also some plot to kill Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati due to his bold preaching about the personalism and about the Vedic culture. Whereas other groups may become, envious. Even Srila Prabhupada was mentioning when they were opening the Bombay temple, they considered the chanting of Hare Krishna to be a nuisance. You know, they went to the police and said, stop them from chanting. They're ruining our Hindu religion. So, we don't want to ruin anyone's religion or anyone's ideas of what is the best thing to do. But we're greatly fortunate, just like Parikrit Maharaj had Shukadev Goswami to illuminate him and give guidance and give the proper understanding of Godhead. So we have that. We have the essence of the teaching of Shukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, here in the pages of the Bhagavatam. They said the same way we worship the Lord, we should worship Bhagavatam in the same way, because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than the Lord incarnated. Of course, when it takes some time to understand how it is that we're worshiping the book Bhagavatam and how we're worshiping the Lord in His intimate pastimes with His fully surrendered loving devotees, we can come to that. das, 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 anu das, when we actually think of that, I am a servant and let me appreciate the service of others. You know, when you see someone is expertly or nicely serving, and the devotee generally thinks that so nice. Instead of thinking in an envious or jealous way, well, how I can impede this person. We've heard a few times about Lord Indra. He got a little nervous. Some king or emperor is doing too many yajnas. I'm gonna steal the horse for sacrifice. So I'm gonna do something so that he doesn't come up to a higher level because it might interfere with my, you know, high level of being the king of heaven. So better than the king of heaven, Indra, and better than Lord Brahma is to become a servant. Das Anudas, Gopi Bharatu Padakamariyo, Das, Das, Das Anudas. And that service mood, when you put your heart and mind into it and really feel happy just to be in the society of devotees, despite all the difficulties our society has. We're not the only one. Every society has difficulties. But within the society, there are many genuine, sincere devotees. And if we continue working in a cooperative, enthusiastic way together, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how we can ultimately work as a unified army to spread the message of Krishna consciousness, destroy the atheism, destroy the impersonalism, destroy the total bodily concept, and awaken the desire to put an end to the vicious cycle of birth and death. And that's the basic problem that everyone's experiencing, is a repetition of birth and death. In this lifetime, we may have some accomplishments or achieve a little something this way or that way, but it's all taken away. And due to our activities, which are not related to Krishna consciousness, we're going towards a lower existence. You know, there's many hellish worlds, and there's hellish punishments described in Srimad Bhagavatam, very scary ones. You don't read them before going to bed because the fifth canto is just so intense. I see a picture of Srila Prabhupada smiling ear to ear with the fifth canto in his hand. Not that he had lots of compassion. He'd cry at the compassion, but understanding the reality and seeing that this knowledge is becoming available for all of us is a great source of joy and happiness. So take advantage of coming and hearing class daily and hearing the words of the devotees and be engaged enthusiastically in the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So time is going on, days, months, years, thousands, billions, trillions of years. It just keeps going and going. And we've been stuck here, so we need to get unstuck. And we have that opportunity. Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So one or two questions, if anyone has anything. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, my question is about the impersonal, like you discussed that Shankaracharya came and he preached about impersonal. But Krishna told in Gita, if someone is falling impersonal, he will get hellish punishments. Then why Shankaracharya came? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may have come earlier and he may have preached about Sankirtan movement. Because Prabhupada did the same, he went abroad, he didn't preach about impersonal first. He just gave the perfect knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
So Shankaracharya preached impersonalism, and we know impersonalists are offenders of the Lord, they can go to hell, and why he didn't preach like Lord Chaitanya, just the pure bhakti and love. The Lord appears at time, place, and circumstance, and according to the climate or the nature of the people's mentality or ability to accept or not accept, Krishna's not going to just twinkle his nose and force people to, you know. He gives this independent, this feel, this independent spirit is available to everyone. So when the meat eating and the use of the Vedas was being abused, Lord Buddha appeared. And first he had to deny the Vedas so that they don't say that, well, you can't, we're doing this in the name of scripture or religion. So it wouldn't have been acceptable. And in the same, like she said, Srila Prabhupada, he came and gave us, we're just all in total ignorance. We know nothing. And Prabhupada sometimes said to the Indian public when he was lecturing in America, he said, because they don't have so much misunderstanding of so many gods and so many philosophies, they easily accepted that, you know, from Prabhupada saying that we're servants of God and chant the holy name and surrender your life. And yes, this makes sense. So this philosophical speculators and the gross materialists who are utilizing scripture to justify their so-called religion. That's why Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all varieties of speculation and just surrender to me. So time, place, and circumstance, from the total deviation, Lord Buddha set that straight, and then Shankaracharya established the authenticity and the validity of the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Vedic literatures. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all Goswamis confirmed that this Amala Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the essence, the cream. Like the ocean of milk, the cream of milk, the cream and the butter, this is the essence, and this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's just our good fortune that we have the proper direction. And try to understand, well, why did Shiva do that and why Shankaracharya? There's many reasons. We'll get that. Oh, shit. I ask Prabhuji and then our old friend here.
Thank you for going through the class. In the lecture, you mentioned that we have a relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And then you say that Daivi, Guna, Ishmael, I don't know this answer. But I was wondering, do we have a relationship with Krishna in the material world? And if we overlook this relationship with the material world, we might, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot in our ability to engage everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah, see, the material world is like the playground for the children who are not wanting to listen to the advice of their... Our existence in relationship to Krishna in the spiritual world still exists while we're in the material world, but we're distracted. Like the two birds on the tree, one bird is watching, the other bird is eating the fruit. So although we still have a relationship with Krishna, we've forgotten that relationship and we're covered over with misidentifying our real self with this body. So if you think, well, does the body have a relationship with Krishna? It's Krishna's ingredients, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. These are all coverings of the soul. And as long as the soul is misidentifying with the mind and the body and thinking to gratify or have some relationship on a bodily concept, then there's no real spiritual relationship with Krishna in the material world unless we awaken our spiritual bodies. The gopis were in their spiritual bodies. They awakened their spiritual existence. So the material body means that we're in ignorance. But if we utilize the body, then in the very same body we can illuminate it, awaken it to a spiritual light. If it's illuminated, then the relationship is again revived with Krishna. But if you're, as long as you're in ignorance, you cannot have that spiritual relationship with Krishna. A lot of technicalities. The most important thing, we should have faith in Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's words and the best understanding we can have. And if something is not totally clear within our logic and reason and our experience, it will clear up. It will clear up. It just repeated hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Very powerful.
As you were speaking about the gopis, they were thinking that Krishna is only with me. So similar way, if a devotee thinks that Krishna is only with me, so is there anything wrong?
No, Krishna, I mean, if you want to think Krishna is only with you, there's nothing wrong with that. But It's that Krishna will kiss you even. So Krishna, he's with us at every moment. And just that realization, if it comes to you that, yes, he's just with, if the gopis are thinking that, it's okay for the gopis, it's okay for us. But not that we should artificially start thinking in a sahajiya mood that, oh, Krishna's pulling on my dhoti and, you know, I'm having this relationship. We shouldn't overreach or try to, you know, fantasize too much about these kind of things, in the sense that if you're in a covered condition, until by the chanting and hearing and association and service, then that illumination will disperse the clouds of misunderstanding. But nothing wrong. Krishna's there with you. It's okay. Any last question? Yes, Prabhu. The bandit. With the mask. Last question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Would you mind revising some scary hellish punishments?
Oh. Some scary hellish punishments.
Just revise them.
Yes. Well, the fifth canto is full of detailed descriptions of persons who are envious or jealous or commit violence, what to speak of killing an animal. If you're participating in the slaughterhouse killing, then as many hairs that are in the body of the animal, you'll be forced to suffer so much hellish conditions. And the hellish is not just the hell is there in a vengeful way, but it seems that that kind of conditioning will help the living entity to awaken or hopefully come back to his senses. Sometimes a child is put to punishment by the parents so that he can learn some lesson. So you may think that, well, what about some of the heavenly delights? Can you describe them? So all the activities that go on in the heavens and the spirit in the heavenly planets, in Brahma Loka, Indra Loka, Chandra Loka, and so many wonderful opportunities for celestial enjoyments are there, and so much suffering and hellish conditions are there, because every living entity is an individual. And once we make the decision to leave, to try to become the enjoyer, we're entrapped in this world, and then we have to deal with the situation. So you could read the fifth canto. I don't want to describe all the hellish sufferings, but it's a lot of suffering in the material existence. This repeated birth and death is great, great suffering. And being with Krishna is reminded by being in the association of devotees and chanting the holy name. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.